Welcome, sports fans. Half of the introduction is true. I am your host, Kenny B. I'm here with Josh Nagel at the ESPN Sports Studios. What's going on, Josh?
Too much, Ken. How are you?
Everything's wonderful. Mark the Kid Vespi will be joining us shortly. I think he's in the parking lot running up, got caught in traffic. And we are at the ESPN studio again this week. So 2 weeks in a row. I like being here, Josh.
Yeah, it really gives us that authentic feel. I mean, it's great. You know, the Cal Neve is the home of the show, and we've been there for years. But this is a nice little change of pace, and we get to feel like, you know, broadcasting big shots being in here.
Absolutely. And some of our listeners have actually on our Facebook page, Kenny B ESPN Sports Handicapping, they've went on there and they've messaged me just saying how much crisper it is here. You know, in the studio, I can imagine that. But, you know, we're going to work on improving that at the Cal Neve too. You know, it's just it's an open environment here. We're in a closed studio. So we appreciate all the comments from everybody.
Yeah, I noticed that last week, and it's neat to see, Ken, especially credit you with what you've built up on the Facebook page, but saw the comments. It's clear there's an audience out there, but they're participating in the social media realm, which is a big thing these days. It's just cool to get some feedback on what we're doing, interact with the listeners.
Absolutely. You know, and we're coming on a little bit early this week, too, because of the Major League Baseball slate. You know, with the Dodgers and Milwaukee coming on after us going into the next game here. You know, like L.A. right now is minus 112. Milwaukee's plus 102 with a total of 7.5 flat, you know, on both sides. You know, I look at this game, Josh, and I said that if it got to this spot, I was going to take my cashola and I was going to shove it all in the pot on the over. I love the 7.5. I love the minus 110. I love the over in last night's game with Verlander. I had Boston and over, you know, and I took a lot of heat for that and people saying, well, Verlander this, Verlander that. And I even told Mark Vespi in a text, you know, because he actually liked Verlander on the run line. And I said, well, I like him because I like Price. And he goes, well, I said, listen, Verlander doesn't have to win every game, and I got a nice, juicy plus 195.
I agree, Ken. And I saw that was the only way to play it. When I saw that Price was so steep, I just figured this way out of principle, and I'm aware of David Price's postseason struggles, all the numbers that might support Verlander and everything like that. But to me, that's one of those basic principle deals where the best team in baseball all year has been the Red Sox. If you get them at plus 170 or better to beat anybody, that's the side you got to take.
Absolutely. And you know, and you look at the two offenses, Houston and Boston. And I made the comment to Kid also. I just said, listen, I said, aren't both these offenses just due to explode? I mean, aren't they really just due to explode? I don't care who's on the mound. And sometimes there's just situations where you just, you know, the whole series, it seems like it was playing light, very light. And so I pushed all on the over, too, with Verlander and Price on the mound. So I had the dog and over. Unconventional kind of parlay.
Yeah, it makes sense, especially when you mentioned kind of going against the grain, where the default strategy would usually be in a playoff game to suspect two top pitchers. A lot of people take the under no matter what, sweat it out, feel like runs will just be at a premium, hard to come by. But instead, yeah, that thing flew over, what, in the fifth inning? Already home.
Absolutely. And there was a lot of threats early, too. So real quick, before we jump into the football and stuff, because we only have an hour, what'd you think about the controversial call on the Altuve home run in the first inning?
I think it's really tough to go that way. I mean, especially when you have replay these days and they're checking everything. Ken, the fans shouldn't be reaching over to begin with. I mean, that clouds the whole issue, but since they're always going to regardless. I mean, I think it's got to be a pretty clear indication that it was going to land in the field of play. You know, the outfielder was going to catch it. I just can't imagine how You know, if you call the guy out, you're more or less conceding a spectacular catch that was going to be made. You see what I mean? I mean, it goes back to even when there was no interference involved in, like, the famous Steve Bartman play. I still think this day there's next to zero chance that catch is made with how far up it was. So, I mean, like, if you're going to call fan interference on that, again, you're just making the concession or the conclusion that just an unbelievable over-the-wall catch would have been made. I just don't think you can go that far unless they're reaching over to where the ball was going to hit the wall. I think you got to go the other way.
I agree. I had Boston in the game. Actually, I had the Boston and over in that game, and I looked at that call, and it was a bad call for Houston. It really was. Bradley, not, who was the right fielder? Milton Bradley. I went blank all of a sudden. He had already closed his glove. It hit the side of his glove, so I thought that was a bad call. I mean, with that being said, but it's sports. You know, I've lost a lot of games on bad calls. So with that being said, we're moving on. We're moving on right now. LA plays Milwaukee after the game. Dodgers minus 112 versus Milwaukee plus 102 total. Like I said, Josh is 7.5. Do you have any opinion on this game at all?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I would take probably Milwaukee just.
I mean, why not, Josh? Let's look at this. I mean, real quick, we'll analyze this. We have Milwaukee, a team that won 96 games this year, you know, versus the Dodgers winning 92 games. LA's up 3-2. Now you go back to Milwaukee. It's a must win for Milwaukee. Right. There's nothing to say. Milwaukee's earned their right to be here, Josh. You've got to take Milwaukee in this game.
That's the only motivation I would have, too. Like I said, home team in an elimination game format that's still, regardless of what Milwaukee's done, they're probably a little bit undervalued still in this one. And again, one thing I did like is the strategy you saw the other day from Craig Counsell. How unusual is that? I thought it was hilarious in a baseball. I mean, they've just been doing piecemeal with their staff the entire series. But I thought it was funny. You just don't see this. You send a guy out there to name him your starter, and he pitches to one batter, and then you yank him, and you did the whole thing so the opposing team puts in the wrong lineup.
Yeah.
I mean, that was hilarious. I mean, I've just never seen that. Like, yep, psych, and now you're stuck
managing.
I know. And that's why, because of that, I hope it pays off. I hope the guy who they yanked and gets to start tonight, I hope he does well.
Or who's going to really start?
Well, right. Maybe, yeah, they'll do it again. Send Miley out there again. He'll just be the ruse every single time. His face is one batter.
All right, a couple games tonight in college football, too. Actually, pretty good games. Boise State at home versus Colorado State. You know, Boise was in Reno last week, and great, great effort by the Wolfpack. A couple of really, really unfortunate situations occurred. The Moore fumble at the 5-yard line was absolutely destroyed Nevada, and then also the pick six, the 99-yard pick six when the Pack's down there and threatening again, and the Pack loses a really close heartbreaker. I like where Nevada's at. They gave Boise all they wanted the week before. They gave Fresno State all they wanted, held Fresno State to 21 points. Ganji obviously didn't play that game. Pack's on the road this week. If you listen to Smoody and those guys before us, Pack opened up as a 3.5-point dog. Nick's actually used 2.5, and it's settled in at 3 right now. But with that being said, Boise State at home, 24. They're laying 24, total 63. Man, Colorado State's really bad, Josh. Don't you think this is a get-well game?
I would think so, but I was curious whether Boise State was in get-well game position last week and Nevada stuck right with them. The tough thing with this one, Ken, is Colorado State has improved quite a bit. They're still a pretty bad team, but it's just a ton of points. Right now, it looks like Boise State isn't going to meet all the preseason projections about a possible Power 5 team, right, cracking the BCS or New Year's Day Bowl group. It's just tough to lay this many points with them. I mean, it started off 22-23. Now it's a full 24. That's the live line. And really, it's just going to be a pass for me because Colorado State has a habit of hanging around with Boise. This probably won't be the time they do it, but we just haven't seen Boise clip these numbers these years. They haven't been very good against the spread.
Well, let's see what Colorado State's given up this year. They gave up 43 to Hawaii, 45 to Colorado, 27 to Arkansas, Florida. They gave up 48 to Florida, 19 to Illinois State. They gave up 30 to San Jose State.
All in the third quarter.
Yeah,
that was
exactly.
A wild game.
And they gave up 18 to New Mexico. This just looks like I'd want to make a correlated parlay right here, Josh. Maybe play some Boise State and over. I'm not looking to play dog and under or dog. I think that I'm looking to make a correlated parlay. Give me Boise. I'm going to make 14 parlay. Boise State and over. I know it's a square play, but sometimes square plays get there, Josh. Sometimes.
Exactly. They hit once in a while, and there's only, as you know, Ken, with you go side and total, there's only 4 possible combinations anyway, and even though that's sort of the public favorite thing to do, hey, it hits from time to time. But I'll probably do the in-game, Ken. What I'd like to do is maybe see a bit of a sluggish start where I can get a better number right away. Maybe Colorado State gets on the board first, right? I'd like to get it to where maybe I could get in the area of lane 17 or 14.5 to 17 rather than the 24. Of course, if Boise goes up big early, then that backfires. And you're going to get a worse number. But right off the top, it's going to be a pass till I see what happens.
Couple of 2-4 teams square off a little bit later, too. Air Force versus UNLV. Air Force traveling to Vegas. Air Force laying 9.5 on the road, totals 55. Like I said, I'm going to make a couple of correlated parlay, maybe like a $25 four-teamer. I'm going to play Boise State and over, and there's no way I'm betting. I hate Vegas that much, Josh. I just don't bet on Vegas. I love betting against them, so I'm going to take Air Force and over. I'm going square. Favorite and over, why not?
Yeah, and occasionally that'll hit your Friday night special. It keeps the tourists coming back Saturday morning, right?
Absolutely.
The thing with UNLV, Ken, it's a tough one. Again, that's another game I want nothing to do with. They looked pretty good early on. Vegas did. They actually hung with USC. They were doing all right. But, the big deal for them are Armani Rogers, the quarterback, got injured. He's been out a while, and they've really fallen off without him. Lexington Thomas, the great running back, has been injured too, but he's supposed to play tonight. What strikes me as a little bizarre is how much sentiment those come in on the underdog. UNLV opened up 12.5, 13-point dog. Air Force was that big of a favorite. It got down as low as 9 in some spots. I just checked a minute ago. It's back up to a solid 10 at William Hill. But that's four whole full-point drop in an underdog. So why people are in love with UNLV tonight, I couldn't tell you. But as you mentioned, I won't know real part of it. Maybe their defense is fairly solid. I guess that would be the idea. They maybe could get Air Force off the field a little bit, and the offense has gotten a little bit better, but I'll pass on that one too.
Last two games, I look at Utah State scored 59 against Vegas. New Mexico, 50. Give me.
Right, and they were a 9-point favorite in that game. That was the first game without Rodgers, and they were still laying almost 10 and got blown out.
All right, real quick, we'll jump into the Pac. I know Samud and those guys covered the Pac versus Hawaii. Pac right now, Nick Bogdanovich used 2.5 on the half-point card. It opened at 3.5. Right now on the app, it's 3-67. You know, traditionally Nevada goes to Hawaii and struggles a little bit, but I like the progress that I'm seeing in the Nevada Wolfpack program. I don't want to say letdown game, but you know this is the third game. But you know, I don't want to say sandwich game either, but it is a sandwich game. You know, our 4-game stretch where we play Fresno State, Boise State, go to Hawaii, San Diego State on deck. But they have to win this game, Josh. And I like the maturity and the direction that I'm seeing out of this Wolfpack team, especially on defense.
Yeah, they for sure have improved a lot over the past few weeks. That was clearly the area that needed to be addressed the most. But within the season, you wonder with specific personnel you have, how many strides can you make in a short time? But as you alluded to, shorthanded offensively against Fresno State, that was a real respectable outing. They just couldn't get much going against a great defensive team at 21 points in a one-possession game with Boise State. And you wondered at halftime, are they going to be able to keep it up the whole four quarters? Is Boise State going to run away with this? Of course, they never did, but I think this is a tough spot, Ken. As you alluded to last year, one, it's remember the Nick Rolovich angle. He's a former Nevada guy. He's kind of had the Pac's number since he's gone there.
But we have a Hawaii guy. We got Timmy Chang.
This is true. And also, though, remember last year, it's a bit of a payback situation. Nevada was winless. Hawaii comes in. They're actually favored by 4, 4.5, and Nevada blows them out on a nationally televised game. There was an ESPN night game, and Hawaii ended up looking pretty bad. What worries me, as you mentioned, situationally, I feel like it's a bad spot for Nevada. And on top of that, Hawaii is good where Nevada is not so great. And you know they're going to test the secondary. They're back to the run and shoot. Hawaii was so limited personnel-wise last year, and they had no offensive line, not much in the way of weapons. They just had the one good running back. And I think Rolovich was playing to his strength. They kept it simple because they didn't have much to work with. This year, the better throwing quarterback, you know, they're back to that run and shoot, which he prefers. I'm not sure it's the best matchup for Nevada, though. You mentioned they've been a popular play in the sports books from 3.5. Some books, as you mentioned, down to 2.5, and clearly using 2.5 on the card tells you William Hill's thinking Nevada is a side there.
I got two things for this. I definitely have Nevada at +3.5, which I bet early in the week, and I have Nevada on the money line, too. Nevada's going to win this football game. Let's head off to our first commercial break. When we come back, we'll jump into the NFL slate. This is the William Hill Sports Show. Come to the ESPN Studios on 94.5 FM. We're back at the ESPN Studios on 94.5 FM. I'm your host, Kenny B, with Josh Nagel from Sportsline. Don't forget, you can get all Josh's stuff on Sportsline. Josh, why don't you give your info out there? I always want to do this so people can actually find your articles.
I appreciate it, Ken. All my content for CBS Sportsline is just at sportsline.com and on Twitter at JoshNagel1 for any social media interaction.
And like our Facebook page at Kenny B ESPN Sports Handicapping, at the conclusion of the show, sometime a little bit later tonight, we'll be posting our best three picks, Josh, myself, Mark Shannon, and John the Hawk Stevens. And, you know, you can get all that stuff there, too. And I want to add one more thing before we move into the football slate for the NFL is don't forget, this Sunday is the public's first chance to see the Nevada Wolfpack team. They play Washington at Lawler. It's a scrimmage. But Washington, top 25 fringe team at 3 p.m. at Lawler. So make sure you be there. I'll be there. I can tell you right now, I'm going to be there, Josh.
Yeah, that stuff's fun. Can't remember we got that.
It's Washington. This isn't just a right. bad Sac State coming in. I mean, we're talking about a legitimate scrimmage where we get to see
exactly
our squad.
And the NCAA added that rule last year, which allowed you to add three additional games that don't count overall against your record. Remember last year, Grand Canyon came in, and they're a pretty good quality team, but we had three extra games that gives you a chance to go scope it out. But it's just cool because it makes it even more accessible to the fans because the tickets are lower price. But you mentioned this specific case, too, a Pac-12 opponent. It can't be beat. Ken, you've been talking as much as anybody about this basketball team ever since pretty much the previous season ended. So much hype surrounding it. What better way? As you alluded to, it's not like we're playing some Division II team or with no chops at all and it's going to be a boring game. This is a Washington.
No.
Washington's often projected to be like top three Pac-12 this year.
Yes. You know, Mark the Kid Vespi just joined us too. Welcome, Mark.
Hey, Ken.
You know,
Josh.
Mark actually texted me earlier this week. He goes, oh my goodness. Is the Pac at 10-1 to win the whole thing? Is there value there? And I go, Mark, I got 40-1. He goes, no. And I texted him my bet. No, I got the Pac at 40-1.
And actually, After you told me that, I remember that you did get that, and I missed the boat on that. So there's no value 10-1.
Right before, about 3 days before Jordan Brown decided he's coming to Nevada, I said, if this kid comes here, this 41, there's huge, huge value in this. And so I got the pack at 40-1. And my exact comment to you, Mark, was I didn't bet enough.
Well, and the good thing about that is if they just make the tournament, then your hedge value is big.
Yeah, and I can tell you right now, I have at least $100 at 40-1, at least. Let's jump into the football slate real quick. San Diego versus the Titans. This game's being played in London. San Diego's laying around 6.5 on the card. Total's 45.5. The one thing that I can't get out of my head is that Marcus Mariota was sacked 11 times last week by the Baltimore Ravens defense. This Chargers team, I think, is going to end up being one of the better teams in the NFL. I understand that Baltimore's got the number one defense in the NFL, but I think San Diego's probably got enough, you know, to probably give Mariota fits. And this team in Tennessee, they're just not good, Josh.
Well, they have lost two straight. Early on, you remember, they did win at Jacksonville as a 10-point dog. They beat the Eagles as a 3.5-point dog. They show flashes. They've just been up and down. The last couple of weeks, they've been really bad. Ken, the issue with me laying this many points with the Chargers, they've won three straight, and you realize their only losses are to really good teams, the Rams and the Chiefs. So you figure, hey, you can't hold that against them. But their only wins are against real bad teams. So do the Titans fit into that category? I'm not sure. I just know the way the Chargers are playing right now, I might do a teaser, knock them down to basically a pick 'em. I'd like to have seven or more to put any faith in Tennessee, but to me they're sort of a wild card because they're 3-3, but you're not sure which one will show up, and they have gotten progressively worse the last couple of weeks.
All right, Mark, I want to throw this to you right now. San Diego Chargers, 3-3 versus the spread of their six games, 5 have went over. 5-1 as far as the over is concerned. Absolutely crazy right there. Mark?
But where do the points come from the Titans? You know, that's the thing. It's just they're so inconsistent on offense. You know, they've been better at home, but, you know, this is a London game. This is one of those 6 a.m. starts our time, and it's going to be a strange situation. I think the Chargers are the play here. I don't see the Chargers losing, so I like Josh's angle with the teaser or money line, something in that, you know, parlay that way, because I just don't see the Titans winning this game. And 45 is a lot of points, but these London games, there's supposed to be some weather too. I think next week there's be a little more rain than this week, but the field might not be in the best condition, so I would kind of lean to the under. I think the Chargers win this game pretty easily. I'm not excited about laying 6.5, but that's the only side I would have.
Yeah, and with that, Mark, you talking about the under right here. Tennessee has the number 8th ranked defense in the NFL, giving up the third least amount of points at 17.8. So with that being said, this could be a Paul Sonner special, favorite and under.
No doubt. And 11 sacks, I mean, that's alarming. You know, that is like...
that's like somebody's getting...
You know they're going to focus this week on making those corrections, but
or they're just going to run the ball.
Can you fix that in a week?
Or they're not going to put him out there in front of the artillery line. Patriots traveling to Chicago, Mark. I'm going to lead with you on this because you're a big Patriots fan. Bears getting 3.5 at home. Total is 49.5. Mark.
Yeah, my sheet says 3.5, but it's 2.5 now, right?
I can get you.
I think it's a 2.5 now. So there's a lot of money.
I'm
coming
using
in
the numbers
the
just so the listeners know right now. I'm using the numbers that Nick is using on the half point William Hill parlay card.
Yeah, I think I heard it was 2.5 now, but I know a lot of the, you know, the public money is on the Bears, and I think because of the spot they're in, it's just a good spot for the Bears. Josh,
well,
the Bears?
The live line is -3 even. -120 to take 3.
I mean, you know the Patriots start out slow most of the years. There's plenty of stats to back it up. I don't need to go bore the public, but, but they figure it out. You know, the Patriots are one of those teams in football that get better as the year goes on. And I think this is a light line. I don't bet the Patriots a lot. I bet their totals a lot, but I don't bet them on the side. But, I mean, you're going to give me the Patriots -2.5 against the Bears. I got to take it. And who are the Bears beating? Buccaneers? Who else?
Well, I'm going to throw this
Seahawks.
Out to you, Mark.
Seahawks.
Who did the Bears play last week? I know
Dolphins.
The answer to this. Yeah, the 27th ranked offense in the NFL. And they went up and down the field on them. Absolutely up and down the field on them.
Josh. I mean, I can see a lot of points in this game, but it's Patriots for me.
Yeah, I agree. You know, they survived the test last week against the Chiefs. That was a bit of a letdown in terms of having the game seemingly in hand at halftime. Like Kansas City come all the way back, so that defense is a concern to some degree. But the Bears aren't the team to take advantage of it. There's a lot of hype around the Bears defense, but you realize Khalil Mack is questionable for the game with an injury.
I just read it, too. He's still questionable.
So he might be not at full strength even if he plays. Obviously, he's the heart of their defense, but offensively, they've done some things to create some offense with Trubisky and whatnot, but it's still somewhat limited and still kind of gimmicky, run heavy. And I just don't see them keeping up, basically. It's one of those deals where I feel New England is discounted a little bit. Chicago's gotten some due respect, but I'm surprised to have seen so far that Chicago has been the pretty heavy, sharp money side driving it down. And at three, I would take New England inside of it for sure. I just don't see Chicago keeping pace offensively.
And you know, Josh, if you get this at four and a half Bears, then it makes sense, right? But you start getting to that 3-2.5 range, I mean, doesn't the value switch over to the Patriots on that side?
I would think so.
All right, next game, Tampa Bay at home versus the Cleveland Browns. Nick used 3.5, 49.5. The big news today was the Cleveland Browns traded Carlos Hyde to Jacksonville. So it looks like Nick Chubb is going to be the lead back coming out of Cleveland. You know, some of the stats that I got on this game real quick, guys, before I throw it over to you. All five of Tampa Bay's games have went over this year. They're 5-0 as far as totals are going. And there's one on Cleveland too. Cleveland's 4-2 against the spread this year. 4-2 against the spread this year. You know, Tampa Bay at home with all those offensive weapons, I think it's going to come down to, I like this game over, I'm going to tell you right now, but I don't think Cleveland has enough quite yet to stay in the game, but I do like the game over. I do think both teams are going to be able to get their points.
Yeah, that makes sense. And as you mentioned last week, if you saw, the Buccaneers pretty much outplayed the Falcons. They had a couple of turnovers that were critical. I was digging into this game to preview this one for Sportsline, and it was crazy. You know, the Buccaneers ended up with 510 total yards of offense against Atlanta, which can't play any defense. But still, that shows you Jameis Winston, 395 yards. And he had a huge day, just a couple interceptions. It hurt them, and they got stopped at the goal line trying to win the game down 5 late. So they're still producing. It's one of those things. Tampa Bay's got an explosive offense, but still going to challenge for the worst defense in the league. Can Cleveland take advantage of it, though? Again, that's one of those where, as good as Baker Mayfield's look, they've struggled to be real consistent with it. I think that trade of Carlos Hyde is interesting in that he's really good, but it shows you what they think of Chubb, who's averaging 10 yards a carry so far.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where they just had to get him on the field full time.
The majority, the lion's share of those yards came on one play.
Right. That's one of those things that's exaggerated because
they cut a lot of payroll, and they get to see their rookies. I mean, this Cleveland team, they're exciting to watch, and I'm excited. I'm finally excited about the product that Cleveland's put on the field. But with that being said, I think they're a little bit too young to go into Tampa Bay and to compete for four quarters. I do think they get theirs. I think the game goes over. It's probably going to be one of my better plays.
Yeah, I think this is a cool game just because there should be a lot of points, should be up and down, you know, should be some Baker Mayfield highlights, and I'm looking forward to seeing the game. I'm not interested in really betting it. I do lean to the over for sure, but I'm not sure I'll have money out of the pocket on this one.
See, I already told you guys that
too many variables.
I told you guys already that Tampa Bay 5-0 as far as totals are concerned. All five games they've played have went over. Cleveland, on the other hand, they're 3-3, so they're getting
there. I'm surprised that Cleveland's 4-2 against the spread because I know that they've been built in with a little kind of Cleveland, pro-Cleveland, so they're still kind of...
Public edge, they're still getting it. They're the darling of the NFL right now. Everybody's loving Cleveland.
So I think that's pretty impressive because I know that's built in the lines. Yeah.
Except for the first couple of weeks, Mark, when they beat the spread, right? So there was still value on them when they get
Steelers the first week, and last year that line was like 11, and this year was what, 6.5?
You're right. I mean, by game time, it was like 3.5, but they still beat it by having a tie.
Exactly.
Right. All right, we have to head off for the next commercial break. When we come back, we'll jump right back into the NFL. This is the Wim Hill Sports Show from ESPN Studios on 94.5 FM. We're back at the ESPN Studios on ESPN 94.5 FM. I made my wager on the break. I said I was going to bet boys and over, but I forgot you can't bet side and total in that game because of the 1/3 rule. You know, it's too many points. You know, you're laying too many points. The total has to be at least 3-1 versus the spread. So I bet the over. What did I bet?
I remember the good old days when you could just do that.
So I bet the over in the Boise game to Air Force and over, and I threw in the over to the baseball game.
I like it.
All right. With that being said, Lions traveling to Miami. Lions laying 2.5 on the road, totals 46. I'm marking this off of my card because Detroit, this is interesting, Mark and Josh. Detroit this year, 4-1 versus the spread, and four of their five games have gone over. So, but you look at the other side, Miami's 4-2 versus the spread. But, you know, if you're looking for a correlated parlay, I guess Detroit's going to have to get theirs. I don't trust any quarterback in Miami right now. I don't trust.
I mean, Osweiler? You're going to bet the Dolphins?
I don't trust that he can come in and do this for 2 weeks.
No.
It's going to be my 6-teamer. It's going to be Detroit and over.
I like it. I think Detroit's the side here.
Oh, look, Mark Shannon just texted me, too. He likes the Lions as one of his three best picks. Bam.
Mark's good at totals. Tell him to text his totals.
Mark Shannon, please text us your totals. I told him. Yeah, because he can't hear you. You don't have a microphone.
I definitely like the Lions in this game. Tannehill's out. Osweiler's starting. Osweiler tends to, he'll look good for a short period of time.
He tends to look like the Arizona quarterback did last night occasionally.
Oh,
that's what you're trying to say.
Then he just comes to, back to form. And
yep.
There'll be some turnovers in this game, and that will decide it. And I think the Lions will come out with the short number. I'll take the Lions.
Yeah, it's a tough one because you mentioned Osweiler's done this everywhere. It's why he still has a job in the league. But short term, whether it's a half or a couple games at a time, he looks great. Kind of like the Ryan Fitzpatrick dynamic on a lower scale. Then when you finally put faith in him and stick him out there for six games or name him your starter, then he backfires. This one I'll probably pass, but just in general terms, I like the spot for Miami because this is where they've been good. You don't want to lay points playing when they're a favorite, but when they're at home underdogs, pretty much been every time they've covered this year. They never play as well on the road. Detroit's still kind of a mixed bag. I mean, just think back, they're laying three now, but remember the team you saw on opening night. I mean, they're improved from that, but still capable of that. And I just feel like Miami, there's some value with the points there, even though Osweiler's not a guy you want to trust a lot. He'll do okay in the short term. I'll just pass, probably.
This is going to sound ridiculous, but I know the Lions in this situation, for whatever the situation is 25-7-1 to the
against the spread?
Against the spread. And I don't know I can look it up here and find out exactly what the terms are, but the Lions in this spot, they fit that category, 25-7-1 against the spread.
Thomas Carr, we're going back to the Cleveland Browns. He texts me. He says he hopes that the Browns lose the rest of the year because he has under 5.5 wins at +130. Good luck with that.
I have that as well.
And Josh has got that, too.
I'm sweating it. Not only can I have the William Hill because they had the great plus money, under 5.5 for +130. But also bet it in Vegas because a couple books offered, they gave you an extra hook there, under 6 for like -120. I didn't really think it'd be
a huge difference, though.
Yes.
Huge.
And I was real confident. That's why I took the plus money, but it is a huge difference. And I'm just sweating it. So every time, the Browns got close but tied, I'm celebrating everything. When they lose, because I need them to lose some steam, decide to pack it in. They were a lot better than I expected.
Yeah. Pack it up, pack it in.
Next game, Philadelphia at home versus the Panthers. Eagles laying 4.5, totals 45.5 on the card. This Eagles team hasn't gotten back into form like they did last year. They're 3-3 this year, 2-4 against the spread, 3-3 as far as totals are concerned. But you got Carolina. I really don't know what to think about Cam, guys. They're 3-2, I know, but they're underperforming. It's kind of like I'm waiting for this Philadelphia offense to explode. Could this be the weak mark?
Well, the way I look at this is, Carolina went into Washington last week, and Washington took care of business, got the cover, and won by 6. I mean, the Eagles are a much better team than the Redskins, and I think they're finding their way, and I think they're getting their offense on track. I really like the Eagles to kind of separate this week. I think this is a big opportunity for them to, kind of get healthy, and I think I'll lay the 4. I don't like betting against the Panthers because Cam Newton can – he could break your heart, but at the same time, he can also turn the ball over a lot. And I just think it's a good spot for the Eagles, and they're figuring it out. I'm going to lay the 4. I kind of like the over, too.
Yeah, I'll probably be in position to play Philadelphia as well. It's one of those things. They had the Super Bowl hangover, and you kind of kept waiting for them to resemble last year's team, and they had various injuries. A couple times they just played poorly, like against the Titans where they were up pretty big and just let up, ended up losing in overtime. It's been a little frustrating to see what really looks like a lack of focus in some parts. But you're like waiting for that one performance where they kind of get it together. And that was the last time when they played the Giants on Thursday Night Football, right? They got an early interception and kept building the lead, and they finally started looking like that team. I expect that to carry over as well, even though Carolina is a live underdog. That's a nice key number to have. I wouldn't surprise me at all if they snuck in there, but I kind of expect the Eagles to build on last week's performance.
All right, next game, Indianapolis at home versus the Bills. Nick, you 7.5 and 43.5. This is all Bills on my part. You have the number 3 defense ranked in the NFL. With the Bills giving up only 311 yards a game. You look at the other hand, and you have a team, Indianapolis is 1-5 this year. And I'm getting the Bills, the number 3 ranked defense against a 1-5 team where I'm getting over a touchdown. I'm going to keep this real quick. I'm taking the Bills. We got to move on.
I mean, Ken, that logic, of course, makes the most sense. A key number with a good defensive team. To me, of course, the concern is Buffalo. What can they get going on offense? They just took a guy Derek Anderson off the couch and stuck him in the starting lineup, and makes you also wonder if they're a little deflated after they've played some real close games and had the offense commit those turnovers, turned into losses. That's a concern for me. If they had a little more that Josh Allen in there, I'd like it a lot more. But I understand the logic with the underdog for sure.
In what world should the Colts be laying 7.5 to anybody? I mean, this is Bills, Bills, Bills.
Put your Bills on the Bills. Colts at home. Chiefs, Chiefs. Laying 5.5 versus Cincinnati in Arrowhead. Looks like a 58.5. You know, you look at this game, I guess, pretty impressive performance by Mahomes against the Patriots last week, Mark. I mean, is this going to be a hangover game?
Is he
going to bounce right back? I mean, you kind of look at that. You know,
I think he bounced back in the second half. He looked really good in the second half. I mean, I think that carries a lot of weight for him going forward, his confidence-wise.
This is one of those games. We know how bad the Kansas City defense is, you know, the worst defense in the NFL at 32. But you also have to have the offense to exploit it. And a lot of people are talking about Cincinnati and how well they're playing offensively. They still only have the 23rd-ranked offense in the NFL. I mean, I know they're putting up a lot of points. They're averaging 29 points a game. You know, this is one of those games where it just seems like both teams are going to get their points. I mean, if I'm looking at this game, but 58.5? Kid's just shaking his head no.
Well, I mean, no, just the thing is, the NFL these days, right now, the way it is, I mean, you got to look at these numbers a little differently. Typically, you look at 58.5 and be like, man, that's a ton of points. But,
well, you know what they always say, the highest total on the board over and the lowest total on the board under.
And I don't see any way this game goes under, just because I think the Chiefs, they'll get theirs for sure. The Bengals are scoring. I'm surprised to hear the Bengals are 23rd in offense, though, because they have scored a lot of points. But when you think about it, they have had a lot of turnovers to set them up for easy scores. And but what I look about this, I think the Chiefs' role in this game, I think it's going to be, you know, 44-21, something like that, because the Bengals, they just struggle in primetime games. I know they had a pretty good primetime game earlier against the Ravens, but historically, they struggle in these games. I like the Chiefs a lot in this game. This is going to be one of my better plays, Chiefs and over. Put that on your 16-er, Ken.
I kind of anticipate Kansas City dropping off at some point, just pure regression to the mean. And we've seen some teams play Kansas City fairly well, right? Like Denver probably should have beat them. A great comeback against New England. This is just a rough spot. I'd like some more, you know, points here. I lean toward the underdog because I feel like now Kansas City is going to be the major public darling that gets backed every week. And you realize it's easy to take for granted what Cincinnati's done so far. But just 6 points, as you mentioned, Mark, there's not a lot. Cincinnati doesn't always seem to play well with the bright lights. And so I'm tempted on the underdog, but I'll probably pass because it's not enough. I'd like to be getting 7 or more.
The one thing I want to throw out here is Kansas City is the only team in the NFL that's covered 6 weeks in a row. The only team that's covered every week versus the spread.
Well, it depends on the number you got. Because right. I have the Patriots, and they covered. Listen,
right. They covered the closing number against Denver, but not the first one.
Get the best number, guys, like I do.
Get the best number.
All right. Vikings traveling to New York to play the Jets, laying 3.5 on the road, 46.5. You know, you just got to – I'm not convinced in the Jets. I think they sneak up and bite people at times, but, man, laying – Only getting 3 versus the Vikings? Don't the Vikings get after this team?
Well, the Vikings are improved in the last couple of weeks. The thing about it is the Jets are a good home dog. I think they're 10 or 11-3 against the spread in this position over the last 3 years. And this game's there's going to be some turnovers. You know, the Vikings are going to force a couple turnovers. Jets are going to force a couple turnovers. So it's really tough to handicap that. If I can get 3.5, I'll lean the Jets.
It's 3.5 on the one.
I think they can win this game.
It's 3.5 on the William Hill half-point card mark. 3.5 and 46.5.
All right, you got me. I'll take the Jets.
J-E-T-S.
I think the Jets generally are still undervalued in these spots, but the thing is, last week against the Colts, that seemed like a good spot to play them because the Colts are still, you know, kind of struggling themselves. Not so much this week, though, with as much as Minnesota has kind of come back to life after struggling early. It's not often you see the Jets put it together back-to-back is what I'm getting at. So I think it's a bit of a short line. I'm going to take Minnesota.
And I agree with you, Josh. I had the Jets last week, and actually one of my radio picks was the Jets. And it is tough to just kind of piggyback them back-to-back. You know, that's the only thing that makes me a little wary of it. But Jets plus 3.5 is good value.
All right, let's head off to our last commercial break. We'll come back. We'll finish up with the NFL. This is the Windmill Sports Show coming to you from the ESPN studios on 94.5 FM. Welcome back to William Hill Sports Show. Let's continue with this NFL slate. Jacksonville at home playing the Texans. Jacksonville laying 4.5. Total is 42.5. Guys, we talk about this all the time. We talk about get well games. This is a get well game for Jacksonville. Coming off of, you know, the beating they took in Dallas. And you have, excuse me, Houston coming to town right now. Houston's 1-5 versus the spread, guys. 1-5. Tennessee got their quarterback sacked 11 times last week, and they're tied for the lead with Houston, Tennessee, and Jacksonville for first place. Jacksonville cannot let this game get away. Houston, like I said, 1-5 versus the spread. Jacksonville goes in there, and I think they absolutely demolish Houston. Absolutely demolish them. I know last week everybody was on Jacksonville. Kid kind of mocked us for that. But this is the week where they go home and you get a big dose of the number two ranked defense, Jacksonville, and they come out and they win this game easy, guys. They really do.
Oh, and I like your angle, but I've been a little bit, snake bit by Jacksonville, because early on they were great. I thought they overachieved and they were covering, and suddenly they really fell off. I just don't know the way. You mentioned Houston's poor spread record, but they've still been coming along a little bit on offense. I guess what I'm getting at right now is I don't think I want to lay the key number with Jacksonville. I mean, you may be right, but the way they've struggled offensively, 4.5 is a key number. I just not sure I'm ready to go that far.
Yeah, I understand that. I do. And it's just a situation. It's a situation play for me. That's where I'm at, Josh. I totally understand. The 3.5s, the 4.5s, the 10.5s, 7.5s, 13.5s, 14.5s, 17.5s. I got all that. But this is one of those games where I just think I really believe in get well games, and there's no way that Jacksonville can let this game slip away. Zero chance. Mark?
Typically, I would like your angle. The only thing about it is 4.5 in a 42.5 total game is – that's more like 6.5, 7 points to me.
Well,
it's tough to cover that with the low number.
Houston struggled last week because Watson is hurt. The only reason they get the win is because of a late pick six. Now they're going on the road trying to beat Jacksonville and Jacksonville.
I think these teams are even, and I think defensively they're both even. I think 4.5 seems like a big number. I think this is a field goal game. Even if it is a get-healthy game for the Jaguars, I think if the Jags won by 3 or 4 and kind of controlled the game most of the time and the Texans got a backdoor cover, I think that's the way it could go down. So,
all right.
I like the 4.5, and mainly because Bortles struggling.
I know. Like, I agree.
You got to have a good effort out of Bortles, and I mean, I need proof.
You need proof. A little bit of proof.
I'll take the Texans plus 4.5.
All right, Houston's defense. They are a top 10 defense, right there at 9. They're giving up. They're giving up 245 yards a game through the air, and they're averaging giving up 22.8 points a game. So I just, like I said, guys, I just look for situational plays, and I think Jacksonville at home in this situation is a get-well game. Ravens at home versus the Saints. Ravens laying 2.5 to the Saints, totals 49. You look at this offense by New Orleans. I mean, this team, they're a juggernaut right now. I mean, they're just dicing people up, Josh. Number three ranked offense, the number one scoring offense in the NFL, averaging 36 yards or 36 points a game, 424 yards through the air. But it's a classic matchup, Josh. The number one defense on the other flip side of the coin is Baltimore at home. They're the number one ranked defense in the NFL based upon yardage and amount of points giving up per contest, only giving up 12.8 points per contest.
Right, and typically I think this line factors into how New Orleans is a finesse team. They go outdoors against physical, defensive-minded teams, and it tends to look a lot differently. I mean, they usually struggle. I can see why Baltimore is favored. And I feel like the Saints would probably be the public side. But having said that, I still like New Orleans a little bit because I just feel like Baltimore's a little overrated. You mentioned the number one ranked defense. I don't expect that to hold up for long. Now, why? I've watched them several times. I've still just come away not terribly impressed. But on the flip side, do they have the firepower? I mean, New Orleans is moving it against everybody. And so to me, it's just one of those spots. Normally, I would like the defensive team against the finesse one. I like it when the public's on the other side. But I feel like New Orleans is live here.
Mark, buy this up to 3 and take the team that can actually probably win the game outright.
I love the efficiency of the Saints. I mean, you're going to give me some points. I'll take them just because the Ravens are up and down, and the Saints just seem a little bit more consistent, and you give me some plus points with Drew Brees and the way the Saints are playing right now, I'll take it.
Absolutely. Baltimore is 4-2 versus spread this year. Next game, Washington at home versus the Dallas Cowboys. This game's always a war. I think this number is right where it needs to be at 1.5. Totals 41.5. You look at the AFC or the NFC East. You have Washington's 3-2. Dallas and Philadelphia are both 3-3. So obviously this is a really, really big game. I'm a Cowboys fan, and these games always play close to me in my mind. I have no opinion on this game, so I don't want to give out any false tales about what I think about this game. But you guys know for a fact, I'm always the guy that's willing to bet on Dallas or against Dallas if I think it's the right bet, being a Cowboys fan. But I think this number's right. I think this is a pick 'em game.
Yeah, and can the history suggest, though, that the road team – I did quite a bit of research on this one. I like Dallas quite a bit in this one. Last week, for instance, they finally broke out on offense. They've been so inconsistent, but what a crazy year they've had on defense. They've been rock solid from game one. That hasn't changed. Dallas still like a top three or five defense in every major category. That's been solid, and Washington's pretty limited offensively, but I feel like that performance against Jacksonville gets them on the right track. Again, it's just crazy how the road teams, I mean, Dallas has won four straight trips to Washington, but the road team has covered like 9 out of 10 in this series, and that's one of those things where of the many trends you could just throw out the door, it just seems to kind of stand out as one that's valid. But just generally speaking, I feel like even though the Redskins did win last week, they're going to fade off a little bit. I think Dallas gets right here and wins another one.
You know, Mark, look for Dallas right now. The number two ranked defense in the NFL as far as points per game. They only give up 17.2 points a game. And number four in total yardage at 315. Washington's right on the heels of that, the number four or five spot. So if you can, I would wait a little bit. If this game gets to 42, 42 and a half, I'd be looking to maybe shove some money on under.
Oh, yeah, this is definitely an under game for me. The side, you know, it's tough because both these teams are feeling good about themselves right now. And going into this game, which is just always a war, I mean, it's really tough to pick a side. Going into the week, I was liking the Redskins. But as the week has progressed, I'm kind of changing my tune. I like what the Cowboys did last week. I think they found a little something. So I don't love the Cowboys per se, but I definitely am going to stay off of this game. If I do bet it, it'd be under, especially like in a teaser situation.
We have two games left to handicap, but I got to get this out because Mark Shannon just handicapped me. And the baseball game goes off at 5:39, so you still have time to bet this. And Mark, you asked for his totals. He gave me three totals. I'm going to give you the football ones, but there is a baseball total he loves right now. Runs, hits, and errors between the Dodgers and the Brewers over 25. So you have about a little bit less than an hour to bet that still. Do it on your William Hill mobile app, which you can download at www.williamhill.us. Full service sports betting at your fingertips. He likes Major League Baseball over 25 runs, hits, and errors. As Mark is keying up, he's firing up his app.
Well, I actually bet that already,
it.
Ken. I actually bet that
Mark,
already. I like
Josh,
that.
Josh, he's firing up the app.
I noticed that. Mark firing up the app as
right.
usual.
Rams going on the road to play the Niners in the late game on Sunday. Rams laying 9.5, totals 52.5. Very impressed about the product the Niners put on the field against the Green Bay Packers last week. I was impressed that they scored and they continue to score. I know, you know, you kind of look at Green Bay, you know, this is, you know, but now they're going up against the number one offense in the NFL in the LA Rams. They're averaging 64 yards a game. Number three scoring offense at 32.7. Mark Shannon did like this over. He likes this under in the first half. Mark Shannon put under in the first half on this game. I look at this game and just I don't see the Niners continuing the momentum. You know, it's the Patrick Ewing effect, Mark. You know, last week they looked good. This week I think they're going to look bad. I really do.
How can they stop the Rams offense?
Exactly.
Just tell me how. Rams and over.
Like you mentioned, Ken, like the Niners, recently. As we mentioned with the Jets, it's tough to envision them putting back-to-back performances because in recent history they haven't. I do think they had the Packers beat. I mean, that was ridiculous. Was the Niners, they're going to have very few chances the rest of the year. That was one they should have pulled off. It would have been pretty cool in a primetime game in Green Bay when no one gave him a chance. And C.J. Beathard is a lot better than people realize. He just is. I mean, he thrown into a rough situation last year as a rookie without any protection and real weapons, and he's grown. So he's not bad. So people are going to hang on to that. There could be some value with the Niners down the road. I don't like to lay 10 with the road team in any NFL game, but this is just a bad spot for San Francisco.
All right, next game real quick. Monday night game, Falcons at home, laying 5.5 on the card, totals 54.5. I know a lot of the wise guys that I follow are betting this game over. Mark, I'm going to throw it to you real quick. We've only got like 2 minutes.
I'll just say this. The over for a team that has plays on Monday night and has a bye the next week is 39-12 in the last 51 games.
And it was last week, too.
2-0 in the last 2 weeks, and so I'll take it over.
Take it over, Josh.
Falcons have the bye.
I like the Giants with the points.
All right, let's give out our picks real quick, and we're going to post our picks on our Facebook page at Kenny B ESPN Sports Handicapping. I'm going to throw out mine first. I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay-Cleveland game over. I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills. I'm going to go with Jacksonville. And then I'm going to pick the Wolfpack tomorrow at plus three. I think they're going to get the victory outright. And don't forget to come watch the Pack play Washington Sunday at Lawler at 3 p.m.
All right, I'll go Vikings, Cowboys, Patriots with college games, Navy-Toledo.
All right, John the Hawk Stevens is going to go with Jacksonville, the Browns, the Cowboys, and he's going to be on the other side of me. It's reverse psychology. He's going with Hawaii, so cancel that out. Don't even give that. Jacksonville, Cleveland, and Dallas. Thanks, Hawk.
Yeah, and I'll take the Chiefs, Patriots, and the Rams game over. Also take Atlanta over on Monday night. college, I like Michigan State and Wazoo.
All right. Mark Shannon is going to come with Carolina, Cincinnati, the Detroit Lions, and his totals that that kid asked for, he bets over 25 runs, hits, and errors in the Major League Baseball game tonight. He loves the over in the Philadelphia-Carolina game, and he also likes the under in the first half of the 49ers-Rams game. So zombie crawls tomorrow downtown. If you guys are looking for something to do, come down, go to Sirius Casino and Club Count Eva. It's going to be tons of craziness going downtown. Absolutely a crazy, crazy event. We got 15 seconds. Make sure you do all your betting with William Hill at www.williamhill.us or any brick and mortar. Plenty of those. So, Josh, any parting shots?
Thanks for joining us for the William Hill Sports Show. Be sure to tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. for all the action. This is KUUB Sun Valley, ESPN Radio 94.5.